right. Well, thanks, Bob, for letting me teach, let me share God's word, let me just share my heart, and really also just let God speak in however he reaches your guys' heart. He does that to me every time I seek him, and I know that he does that to people who have experienced his wonderful love, so, and goodness, and really taste it and see how wonderful he really is. So if you turn to Ephesians 1, if your Bibles, or wherever you are reading the Word of God, I have my phone here. If you're wondering, I'm not just text messaging people. texting God. Right. He's texting God. So, in Ephesians 1, it talks about a wonderful thing called the Church of God, that we are a part of it. What is the church? A lot of you scholars out there have read and know the word ecclesia. What does that actually mean, right? It's a gathering. It's a group of people who worship God, who have a purpose. You can go farther and dig farther. It's a calling of people, right? Who called us? God, right? And in the Bible, it talks about the church as a whole across the entire world, as well as the local churches, Ephesus, Romans, right? Thessalonica, San Diego, San Diego, Raleigh, whatever you say, right? It's the local church, and they all have their own issues, own problems, own challenges, own trials. But we're all serving God, and we all have a heart to serve God. At least that's the idea. So Ephesians, Paul speaking and writing a letter to the church of Ephesus. It's really sweet. There's a lot there. But it's just describing the people who are very faithful. And who the love is just shining. And I know that plane's going over here, but I know that our church in San Diego, because I've been a part of it. And my mom's church growing up in Irvine. And the church I grew up in Colorado Springs. They all descended from other churches and other groups of people who have been faithful to see God, to learn, to love him, to be refined and by the word of God and the truth of it, to discern what's right and wrong, and it's reaped awesome fruit. So we'll read just real quick. I'll let the word of God kind of speak for me as I sort of ramble and go off tangents. But it's always wonderful. So anyway, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, is verse 1. To the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just found myself thinking, hey, here I am today. Grace and peace to you all here from Raleigh, North Carolina, to the church here in San Diego, who I've been a part of. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or heavenly things with Christ. According as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. So God accomplished an awesome thing on this earth to reconcile us back to him. This is our purpose. This is our calling. We're here gathered today. There's things we do. There's gifts of God that we experience here on earth. But for the most part, it's in the end, it's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with God in our lives today, be it however old we live. You hear me all right in the back? as well as, what's even more so, it's our inheritance with Christ. The future relationship we're going to have, or that's going to continue as we're changed and as Jesus Christ gathers the saints. He comes back in the second coming. It's pretty awesome. We have an awesome calling and an awesome inheritance that we're going to experience. And Paul is encouraging them, hey, look, we're part of the church here. Guess what? Your family, we got something that's just so much greater to look forward to. He has called us before the foundation of the world. He knew Jeannie before she was born. He knew me before I was born. He's called us part of this gathering, this church. Having predestined us for sonship, verse 5, to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise the glory of his grace wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remissions of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, it kind of hinted at something that we've all experienced. Remissions of sins. So, we are here, we're not perfect. We live in this world, we're tempted and tried, we have trials, the adversary, like a roaring lion, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And every single one of us in this room have experienced sin. They've experienced the effects of sin from other people. They have experienced depravity. They've experienced also goodness. And especially in light of depravity. And it just makes, you just see how God's word shines through, how he works within us and refines us and pushes us to be in his image of his Son. And that's one of our, once again, as a church, that's something that we strive to do. We strive to teach and to reconcile men to God, to have that relationship, to encourage them to be called by God or to recognize that they're called by God and to walk with him now and then give them that hope of the future that no matter what happens, what trials, what tribulations they experience in this world, be it small here in America to what's, for example, what's happening in Iraq today, where Christians are running for their lives right now because the Taliban's taken it over. There is a church in Iraq that is looking to God and has the hope of the future no matter what they're experiencing. And they are being refined by their trials right now. And it's something we can pray for, but we're a part of that. Something to think about. It's wonderful. So I wanted to teach, just introduce about Ephesians and how we're called, how each one of you is called to be part of this church and how sweet it is and how we know and how the desire that we're all part of this to just seek God and to discern and understand what's truth. I mean, it's the beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of all this. And I just encourage everybody to just have that fear, to seek God and to be a part of this church that we're all a part of here. Because he's got a divine plan. Verse 10, that in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated, you were called, right, according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own. We're part of this with God. He's got things, he knows exactly where things are going. We're on the right ship. But it also takes our effort. It's not by works that we're saved, but faith without works, as James says, is dead. Right? I tell my mom to go be filled because she's starving. Here's a rock. Go eat this and be filled and be blessed. That does nothing. Right? She's gonna look at that rock and be like, what is this? This guy's not real. Our works define our faith. They show to others. They make it real. As we identify what sin is, as we learn about what the law is, as we learn, what is right and wrong, the way, right? These words, these key words that we know, the righteous path. As we follow that, we learn and we do it. We seek God and we have a fear of God. And we encourage each other in the knowledge of the grace that's happened through Jesus Christ as his reconciled. So guys, I want to encourage something. I've been reading, kind of changed gears a little bit. Recently, I've been reading books of the Bible. Here, I'll wait for the plane to go real quick for those of you on the call here. I challenge myself, and it's not about me, but I challenge myself to read the Bible. Well, Bible, I've been a Christian since I was a little kid. I've known who God is. I've been learning more and more of who God is, and I've never actually life. And I encourage everybody to do this. And I've been in books of the Bible where I've never ventured before. Leviticus, learning about the different sacrifices, not looking at it like a slog, like, okay, what is this stuff, it doesn't apply to me. But actually asking God to show me, really cool things, and he has it. Another one that I've been stumbling upon, and I have no idea why, is Revelation. Now, I am not an expert on Revelation. You can plug into my mom. She wrote a great book on it. Just a little family plug there. But Revelation, you know, is something I wanted to share today because it talks. So it's really neat. Like, we're reading Paul in Ephesians. It's a letter from Paul, inspired by God to the church of Ephesus, especially as it's just in its heyday. Revelation chapters 1 through 3, something I never read before. And that's, it has letters written from Jesus Christ himself through John. But Jesus Christ himself to the seven churches in Asia, which included Ephesus. And it's really inspiring. It's really encouraging. And one of the things he says, here. So if you plan goes over, you guys go to Revelation. We'll kind of let the Word of God speak, and I hope that it reaches your heart. I will read Revelation 1, it's kind of an introduction, and just the beginning of Revelation 2, in one of the seven letters that he writes to the church of Ephesus. And just a warning, you know. It's encouraging, but it also gives a little bit of a warning. So, and remember, Revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ as he was talking to Paul, Revelation, right, is really neat because it's, like I said, it's Jesus Christ talking to us. And it gives a prophecy, and it talks about all sorts of stuff here. So, Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 1, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants the things that are ordained to come to pass shortly, and he made it known, having sent it by his angel to his servant John, who gave witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, all the things that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads this. Right, guys? Blessed is the one who reads this, and those who hear, not everybody is actually really going to hear. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein. For the time is at hand. Guys, if you look around, and I'm sure people 100 years ago were wondering the same thing, but if you look around, the time is at hand. Jesus Christ, I don't know the day or the time or the hour, but Jesus Christ is going to come back. And things in this world are only going to get worse. The closer we are, the labor pains, we're going to know more and more as the depravity and the evil one takes more and more control. All right, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. And just a little bit too, sorry. But, you know, Revelation is written as an apocalyptic tone. So you get there's the seven horns and the beast and the dragon. It's very, very theatrical. But so just a warning. But at the same time, these chapters are really, really pretty clear. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who's us? It's the church. Churches. And has made us kings and priests to God and his Father. To him be the glory and the sovereignty into the ages of eternity. Once again, that relationship. You know, God has blessed us with gifts, but in the end, our relationship is to love God, is to fear the Lord, is to serve, is to give him the glory in our life. Because guys, I mean, if we're seeking out our own glory, it's harsh, but it's kind of just sad, you know. We're pretty sad human beings in the end. But, as you even heard in the prophets today, God energizes us to do awesome, awesome things for him. Behold, verse 7, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him in the world, every eye. And those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. There are people in this world that reject God purposely. And they're going to know. You know, it's not the nice, calm Savior we see. You know, we've been watching The Chosen, right? You ever see that? It's like highly recommended. But, you know, he's funny. Jesus Christ is represented as an actor, but he, he's funny and sweet, and he's, you know, the Bible describes him as a pretty nondescript person, right? This is a little bit of a change. You'll see this. The people in the whole world are going to know, and they're going to see a different side of Jesus Christ. He's not coming on a little donkey. He's coming on a warhorse. And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And once again, switching back to John, who's writing these things down. I, John, who am also your brother and joint partaker in the tribulation, right? Not that, you know, the peaceful wonderfulness of always being a Christian, you know, because we've never experienced anything good, but anything bad, right? No, it's tribulation and in the kingdom and endurance of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a Christian who outwardly believed and was sent to jail, a prison. Patmos is a small island off of Greece and between Turkey and Greece. It was essentially a prison. It was like Alcatraz. Right? And he was sent there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. There are people today who are sent to prison or die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. There could be people here in the future, but that experience does not feel alone. I, John, who am also your brother and joint partaker in the tribulation, and I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind me. This is him describing, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the churches that are in Asia, to Ephesus, Ephesians, right? And to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. These are seven churches that represent characteristics of churches all around the world. It's not just the only people that God's going to call is people in Turkey. It's everybody, right? All right, so just vision this, right? And here's John, and he turns. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now, I've never heard this term. Someone introduced it to me. Awesome believer. Lampstand. Kind of a weird picture, right? But these lampstands, or a lampstand church, is something I want to teach a little bit. What is a lampstand church? It is a church that is called by God, that is faithful to God, both in heaven and on earth, that follows attributes that God has described, Jesus Christ has described. Right? Certified in many ways. You can look at it like that. Because there are churches in this world that call themselves churches of Christ, and they do not follow the Church of Christ. They do not follow the teachings. They warp it, or they define a new Jesus Christ, or however they do it. You can call yourself a Christian if you don't actually know what the Word of God and its truth. And you're not a Christian. Maybe that's a hard pill to swallow for some people, but it's the truth. Anyway. And I turned to you, the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst, this is a key word, in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment reaching to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden breastplate. All right, this is the beginning of a description of Jesus Christ in the midst of these lampstands. I want you to remember that, in the midst of it. And his head and hair were like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass as if they had glowed in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, like a waterfall. And in his right hand he had seven stars, and a sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth. We know that to be the word of God, right? And his countenance was as the sun shining in its full power. Pretty amazing. And when I saw him, and John thought so too, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I was dead. But he laid, and this was once again so beautiful, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. Once again, it's repeating. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is reminding him, hey, this is me. Even the one who is living, it's Jesus Christ still speaking. For I was dead, and behold, I am alive into the ages of eternity. Amen. And I have the keys of the grave and of the death. Write the things that you saw, and the things that are, and the things that shall take place hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and seven golden lampstands. Here he just describes it. Is this the seven stars of the angels of the seven churches, those who watch over it? And the seven lampstands that you saw are the seven churches. All right. So the seven churches, once again, represent characteristics that every church in this world has, and the challenges that they face. You know, here in the United States, we are really blessed because, you know, we are persecuted in many different ways, but we're really not persecuted in the same way, like I described, that Iraq might be, or Iran, or China. You know, there's different things happening that God is working mightily that, even me, I can stand up here, I don't really have a very good authority on it, but I just praise God because God is working mightily throughout the world for one purpose, for the entire church across the world, to reconcile people to God, to save them, to heal them, to have them taste and see how God is good. And he does that with us. He did it here when I lived in San Diego. Listening to Barney's teaching, listening to Bob's teaching, listening to Mom. But anybody who's willing and able to teach and take on that serious task. I mean, James described it too, like, it's so serious. I mean, even those who teach are judged differently, upholding that word of God. But it's so important. So, anyways, Revelation 2. Now, he describes every single church. We're not going to get into it, all seven, but we're going to get into one since I'm talking about Ephesians, and that's the first one. When we go through this, think about it. Like, this is a lampstand church. This is something that God holds as a certified church, like someone, a church that is faithful. And now a faithful church is made up of faithful individuals, right? There's not one, Bob's not controlling all of us with, like a marionette or whatever, right? We all have free will, and we all choose. And it's all our responsibility as we learn from the teacher and as we learn and called and predestined to do our calling before God and all of our strengths and the works that he knows. So Revelation 2:1. So there's four attributes that he describes for the church of Ephesus that are a lamp and church. Right? We'll just read it here. It's 1 through 6, and it's lower M, too. To the angel of the Ephesian church, write this. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So this is a description of a church that Jesus Christ is walking in the midst of. He is actively involved in this versus a church that's not. Right? I know your works, and your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test those who claim themselves to be apostles, but are not, and did find them liars. That's the first one, right? A church that discerns truth from error and rejects false teachers. You know, if you're part of a church that seeks after everything that sounds good, or maybe pulls people away from the teachings of Christ, or redefines requirements to become a Christian, what it means, or says something like, hey, dude, your works or you being a good person, as great as that is, because everybody can attribute, hey, being a good person is awesome, but what defines a good person? Maybe it doesn't define being, the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Maybe they define that. That's pretty common. Discern truth from error and reject false teachers. The second one, verse 3. And that you have borne much and have endured for my name's sake, and have labored and have not grown weary. So being a Christian is not an automatic, hey, life is going to be great. You know, in many ways it's going to be harder. I had a friend that I was talking to that I'm trying to teach the word to, and I keep thinking in the back of my head, like, man, if you turn from the world, your life is going to be harder, if you seek after Christ. It's like, oh, man. At least as far as tribulations and enduring and persecution and whatever. And not to get away from the blessings and the gifts and the power that God works within you for your life. But Here it is, Jesus Christ talking in a prophecy of the future and also talking to these the churches. You know, guess what? You're going to endure hardship as you labor as a Christian, as you walk as a Christian, and as a follower of Christ. But the attribute is you've done this and you've not grown weary, not grown tired. So that's the second attribute of the last chapter. All right. Nevertheless, I have this against you. This is the warning, right? That you have left your first love. What would that be? So what is the love that we have when we first become a Christian? It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the hope of our sins being, or the knowledge of our sins being redeemed, forgiven. It's the fact that we were sinners, and yet God, through his love, through Jesus Christ, saved us. Right? That's what Ephesians talks about, among a whole lot of other places. You've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. For if you do not, I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Pretty big warning. You can take that as you will. But this is the third attribute, that the church maintains their love for Jesus Christ and the knowledge of that, and continues the spirit of repentance. Have you ever met a person who's just so prideful? Everything they say is just gold. You know, they're never wrong. You know, that can happen in a church. You know, you become prideful. You think, you know, everything that you do or what you say, or maybe you go down a road so hard and maybe someone tried, or a prophet or somebody tried to correct you on the right path, and you're just too prideful to know. Now, I'm not talking to you, actually. And this is something that God's teaching me more and more, but the spirit of repentance is huge because it keeps you humble to God. It keeps you fearing God. It keeps you knowing, seeking after God, and understanding that you were fallen and God has risen you up. And that is a huge attribute to have, not only in a church, but as an individual. Always willing to turn back to God. And fourth, the last one here, in verse 6, that this you have, in verse 4, nevertheless I have this against you, you don't leave your first love. Basically, come back to that love. Remember where you come from. Repent. Always keep that mindset, guys. And then the last one, but this you do have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now it's just, you know, we're going to hate everybody that's named Nicholas or something like that. No, this took a little bit of research, right? Because I have no idea. You know, it takes a little bit of knowledge to know what he's talking about. And there's a lot to it. But essentially, the Church of Ephesus was an amalgamation of pagan people in Turkey, in that region, Greek, and the knowledge and the sophistication of that culture, which was multi-god, you know, very, very interesting, very dominant. And you have it, you know, the Jewish sect that's in there. It's just, it's basically like America. It's, you know, to use one example, you have a mix of cultures that hate God, have an alternative to God, challenge, you know, philosophy and knowledge, as well as a history of the Jewish state and the fear of God and that branch, that root, that tree which Christianity is grafted to, right? But also the complications, as we know, with the first century church of revealing that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the difficulties of Jewish people, and to the extent where they killed Jesus Christ himself. So very challenging. The Nicolaitans were people who practiced ritualistic paganism. And even more difficult, I know it's trying to keep it PG here, but a lot of it was sexual immorality and ritualistic. Like, this was a part of Christianity, guys. Let me graft these other concepts from the world and bring that as a part of Christianity. So essentially, it's the last one is to hate evil, recognize it, right? Hate evil, and resist these temptations of the cultures of the world, as I like to describe it, being grafted into Christianity. This is deep stuff, right? And I'm debating if I should teach about this, but and guess what? You know, you can get even more because there's six more churches that God or Jesus Christ has taught. But I bring it up out of the bring a circle because, you know, God has worked, and I want to always bring it back to God. You know, God has worked mightily with teachers throughout history, Europe, America, teachers that we know, I know personally, as well as people before them. You know, we stand on the faith of men who essentially sacrificed their lives to serve God in various forms, various ways, various desires of them. And we are all part of that church. You guys are all part of that church. You're called specifically for a purpose to be part of this church and to partake of the inheritance, not only for the future, but what we stand now. And in light, you know, as the devil continues to, as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, life is going to get hard. And I just want to encourage you, as Jesus Christ did, that it's a blessing to read these things, because we can be prepared to know, hey, what is a lampstand church? What is certified by God, heaven as well as earth? What is the nature and characteristics of faithful? And are we willing to stand up? And I can say with confidence, you know, that it's been a blessing to know people who are willing and have stood upon that, and will continue. And I encourage people to continue to do that. The leadership here has been great. They've changed my life. Believers have changed my life as they walk with God. And it's not about me. It's so great to see. And I know for a fact that God is receiving the glory from people who are faithful. And so this is an opportunity to just remind us the importance of this, that God, or Jesus Christ is speaking, right? But Jesus Christ recognizes what a faithful church is and some of the challenges that you're going to face, each individual place. And something to read, Revelation 1 through 3. But that we should continue to sharpen each other and to recognize every individual here and encourage them that you are predestined. God knew you, and you're here for a purpose. And you are here to reconcile more and more people that they're saved, or to recognize that they're saved, and they have a hope for the future. And I think that, and to have that relationship with God here and as well as in the future. So that's what I wanted to share. All right, here we go. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and just the magnificent work that he did, that he walked and was tempted and tried as we were. But God, that he fully followed you, that he set the example, that he is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, God, that we seek him and the truth that he's revealed fully and will continue to, and will reveal God when he comes. Thanks, God, to encourage us to stand on your word. And even that statement, God, just stand on the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong, discerning truth from error, God. Thank you that we can endure hardship and the labor of being a Christ follower and not grow weary, God, that we can just maintain our love for Jesus Christ, even as the world might reject it, as people we talk to might reject it, as you know, our hearts get hurt from people that we would love and desire to know the truth. But God, that we can just remain faithful. We can always have that spirit and that heart of repentance, God, and that we can always hate evil. We can recognize it what it is, hate evil, and resist the temptations that this world tries to lure us away. God, thanks for protecting our children. And God, that we can just look forward to the future. Thank you, God, for the gifts that you've given us, for this church that we're a part of, both locally and as part of the entire world, that you continue to not only protect as needed, God, but that really that you can just get the glory and that people can really see how good you are and how it, your nature and the spirits you have is just something to be desired. So, God, we just pray for that. And thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.